Okay, so I'm going to invite Christine McCusker to come up. She's the defense leader for Block F, which will occur sometime in about March of first year. And Christine will give us an overview of what Block F might look like.
Good afternoon, everyone. I know you're probably dying for your coffee now. Okay, so I'll be as quick as I can. The Block F is the defense block, and it sort of represents, I'm just waiting for the little thing to stop spinning, represents a block that is the center point, or close to the center point of the first foundation of medicine and dentistry course in the whole, and it does represent a teeny tiny bit of a departure from the other blocks, because the other blocks are much more systems-based, so cardiovascular system, respiratory system, renal system, whereas the defense block, in a sense, takes another step back and looks at the body as a whole, because it involves the defenses. So we'll talk a little bit about what the philosophy and the educational goals of this block are. And so, essentially, the three areas that I was given to try and develop a curriculum around was the areas of dermatology, as a primary, obviously, your biggest organ of defense, the immunology, which is your biggest internal organ of defense, and also, in part because it did fit with the concepts of immunology, we added malignant hematology to this block, although technically not defense, but we'll see how we tried to incorporate it in a logical sequence. So we have 4 weeks for the Block F, and the first week we'll be looking at skin as the first line of defense. So in this block, students are going to learn normal skin anatomy, structure and function, and then they'll be able to describe the events involved in normal skin healing and scar formation. So we, again, begin with normal and then move a little bit into the abnormal as we start to deal with common rashes. We develop skills of differential diagnosis of the different rashes, the pathophysiology that associate rashes with common conditions and maybe not so common conditions, and then concepts related to important elements that were felt under the guidelines to be important information that family physicians needed to know, and that's information such as understanding moles and nevi. So when we talk about this, they'll have introductory lectures which framework the science as well as the pathophysiology of normal skin structure and function, and then there'll be case conferences which will be used to promote synthesis of this information and the ability to use this information in a practical way and adapt it to other cases in the clinical framework. And so these are using these CanMeds criteria, and the first clinical conference based on this is going to be Burns. And so the Burns as a clinical conference, for example, the goals of this will be to describe the events that occur in the skin when a burn happens, its management, and then to move into elements of public health, so that burn prevention, what elements need to be in place, what public education needs to be done in order to stop burns from happening, and how frequently they occur and who's at risk, and then issues related to aftercare, because burns can cause scarring, so that can raise self-esteem issues. There can be trauma associated with the whole process related to having even a moderate to severe burn. So the advantage of this case conference is it will allow us to bring in many of the CanMeds criteria, not just the clinical aspects of burns and burn management, but also the psychosocial elements. The second clinical conference, again under the same rubric, will be looking at the skin manifestations of a chronic disease. So in this, the focus will be what can the skin tell us about the patient and in their general health? And the chronic disease that we've picked in this particular instance is nail pitting in a diabetic. It will help students develop their skills in terms of what is the differential diagnosis of a single clinical finding on the skin, in terms of how you would approach it and what it would mean to you if you saw a patient with this, and then so that helps with the diagnosis and the correlation of the fundamental pathophysiology with the clinical symptom and the clinical diagnosis. But then there's looking at the patient as a whole, because the patient will have a chronic disease. So the students will have to step back, will have to say, okay, what is it like to be a patient dealing with a chronic disease? What can I do to promote overall health in the quotation marks, meaning not just health as how can I fix or, you know, prescribe the medication they need to deal with their chronic disease, but what other elements are involved in promoting good health in this patient who is living with a disease I can't cure? Is there anything we can do to prevent this disease in family members and others? Is there public health issues associated with this? And then, as often happens with chronic diseases, it's usually a multidisciplinary approach to the management of chronic disease. So again, how do you as a professional and as a physician and as a medical student deal when there are multiple players in the care of patients? So that's sort of the issues raised in the second case conference. In addition to case conferences, we'll be using small group sessions. And the small groups are the perfect forum to discuss as a group certain things, certain elements in the global objectives of the unit. And so the first case, small group, is going to look at pediatric rashes. And because pediatric rashes is a very common thing that both family physicians and emergency room specialists see many, many times in their in the course of their careers, we felt that this was an important place to highlight common pediatric rashes that these students are going to see, not only in the course of their clerkship, but in the practice of their medicine. So if you take an overview of week one, you can see that it's essentially the same structure as the previous unit, which is primarily lectures in the morning, although we've included case conferences. And the case conferences are organized, I didn't actually explain how we organize case conferences. Essentially, the students are given a clinical scenario, which, for example, is the 55-year-old male with pitting of his nails. And they are asked a series of questions based on that clinical scenario. And that series of questions ranges from what is the pathophysiology, what is going on, why does this individual have this clinical finding, to this is a 55-year-old with diabetes, what are the long-term consequences of having diabetes, what are the questions that you need to ask, what is important about diabetes to this man and his long-term health and short-term health, what are you going to do in the long-term and the short-term? And these are the kind of questions that they are asked. They are then given 2 hours to go away and investigate these questions. At the end of the 2 hours, they come back and there's a wrap-up session. And we ask the students, they can work on these questions individually, they can work in groups, it doesn't matter how they go out and find the information. And really, the case conferences are structured in a way like a medical consult. The idea is, if this patient walks into your office, what information do you need to have at your fingertips, and how do you go and get it? If you don't happen to have it today, how do you make sure you have it for the next visit? So it gets students into that idea of not only ongoing learning process, but also the idea of trying to find objectives or learning points that they need to find out, and how best for them individually can they go find out that information and bring it back and have it in a usable manner that they can then present or discuss in a group setting. So that's basically what we do for the case conferences, which is a little bit different from the small groups, because in the small groups, they already have the small group in advance. They have done their prep work, hopefully, in advance. And it's a discussion amongst the students about what's been prepared. So the clinical conference, there's a bit of a time crunch. They have 2 hours to get that information. Okay. So then at the end of the first week, because it's a very short time to introduce a lot of material, we start by the movement into the immune system. And so there's an introduction to the barrier as defenses and innate immunity, and also into white blood cells. What are the white blood cells? What white blood cells are we looking at, and what's important? And what you can see in the lower half of the first week, if the little, yeah, works, they are again divided into their quintiles. They have their, didn't mean to do that, sorry. They have their family medicine groups, and then they have, they're split up for their case conferences and the case discussions and or their small groups, depending on the day. Okay, so for week two, we move into immune defenses. By the end of week one, they've learned all about the skin. Now we're going to move beneath the skin, and we're going to talk about barrier defenses and innate immunity, and then move into adaptive immunity and its role in health and disease. I think I've already said most of that. So the third case conference, obviously we'll be dealing, I'll show you the lecture, just the way they're organized, but the case conferences is really where the students have their best opportunity to synthesize this information. And so the third case conference, the one that we picked for this particular element, which is an understanding innate immunity, is a disease that is not very common, but illustrates well how fever generates, how the immune system creates disease, how inflammation can cause damage. So it's a nice case example of something that the students are going to see in their clinical practice for the rest of their lives, which is things like fever, inflammation, pain, and it shows how each element of the immune system plays a role in this, and obviously what happens when things get out of control. So even though it's a rare disease, relatively rare disease, and it's an unusual example, it illustrates many of the different features that they'll have been discussing during the course of the week. When we talk about the objectives for week two, it's the adaptive immunity, what cells are involved in immune responses, how they interact, what happens when they don't function, how is immunity regulated, and then tackling the big topic of autoimmunity, hypersensitivity and allergy, and then lectures on biological immunomodulators. And part of the importance of that particular area of the curriculum is the fact that if we're trying to develop this curriculum not just for today but for the next 10 years, immunobiologics is obviously going to be a very important element to future of medicine. It already is. So the small group session in this, the disease paradigm is going to be lupus, which is a good paradigm for autoimmunity, and it talks again, it's going to be lupus in a young woman. It's going to be the management of lupus, the understanding of the pathophysiology of lupus, but also lupus is a chronic disease. This is a chronic disease in a young woman that it will have implications on fertility. It will have implications on her sense of self. So there'll be a big component that is psychosocial and not just related to the pathophysiology. And then the management of the chronic disease, the risk of side effects associated with the treatments, short-term risks, long-term risks, risks to her reproductive health and future offspring. So there are big questions that can be discussed in this. And then the concept of family management in a woman who is facing a diagnosis for the rest of her life. The fourth case conference will be a case conference related to allergies. So it'll be either venom or drug allergies, because these are very important areas of discussion. I think that most physicians will have several patients in their practice who will have a drug allergy and will have to know how to approach it, how to relate it, how to address it, and when not to worry. So those are the kind of questions that will be asked. So if you look, and the things that are in red have been highlighted from the previous time I gave this talk, where we've made some changes based on the feedback that we got. So we do listen to the feedback. Basically, it's most of the things we've already discussed, although we've added in this a lecture which was suggested by Dr. Gupta, where using the concept of defense, we'll be looking at a physician defending themselves, essentially how to keep yourself healthy as you go through your professional career. And I've already discussed all that. So the third week, the immune basis of medicine, is what I call it, we'll explore the role of the immune system in the other areas that the students have already been exposed to. So it'll be the areas of cardiovascular disease and inflammation and heart disease will be one of the areas discussed. GI tract, homeostasis, and the interaction of commensal organisms with the GI tract and the paradigm of inflammatory bowel disease, what happens when that homeostasis is lost. Immunity in the central nervous system. So there's a lecture in there on the immunology of sleep, because it turns out you need your immune system to sleep. And then the immune system and endocrine diseases, obviously. There are many different endocrine diseases that are closely linked to immune disimmunity. And then finally, concepts in infection and immunity and vaccination and the principles of vaccination. Small group session here is going to be HIV and tuberculosis in a 25-year-old African male. And the specific issues that will be discussed will be the effects of HIV in the developed and third world, comparing and contrasting the different challenges that one faces with this disease in two different populations, the role of co-infection, not only in disease transmission, but also in disease outcomes, and the public health issues related to active TB. So what kind of issues need to be addressed and what roles can the healthcare professional play? And then the big issue, global provision of healthcare. So again, at each point, although the unit is heavily based in quote-unquote in a science, in a fundamental basic science, because that's what immunology is, it really does touch on many different elements that take it just away from that, the cells and the cellular interactions, and moves it out into the physician as a healthcare provider. Fifth case conference is autoimmune endocrinopathies. I probably won't go through too much detail there. And then there's a small group session here that's going to be on palliative care. And again, this is something that we added in based on some of the feedback, and it's the communication in advanced wellness. So this is brought by the palliative care group, who will be discussing many of the different elements that are associated with patients who have severe palliative or severe and chronic illness, and what kind of elements need to be discussed with patients and families. So, and then in addition, we also have our pathology case conferences, which will be incorporated into the unit. So the first pathology case conference will be on connective tissue diseases, and it will be discussing concepts of connective tissue disease and the vasculitides. And so if you look again, and then the last thing that was added, added to the unit or the block after the suggestions is this concept of career exposure panel, so to give the students the opportunity to speak and talk to physicians who have followed different career paths, some who have followed your standard run-of-the-mill career paths, some who have thought outside the box, so that they can begin to think this early on in their training about what kind of careers they see themselves doing. And an example of that would be somebody like me discussing the fact that I'm a clinician researcher at McGill and at one of our meet and greets through my subspecialty, the idea was to encourage clinician scientists, and they asked me to give one sentence that I would say that would encourage others to be clinician scientists. And I said, well, I'm a clinician scientist, I have an academic role at the university as well as a clinical practice, and I'm a mother with three children. So it kind of gives the students the idea that, yes, you can develop your life and you can develop your professional side and your personal side in concert. So it helps provide them with a view to the future. Sorry. Then moving from week 3 into week 4, we move into malignant hematology. So I'm calling that section of the unit When Good Cells Go Bad. So the objectives of that part of the unit, or the the block are going to be normal white blood cell development, what are abnormal white blood cells, the differences, diagnostic parameters, the pathology of lymphomas, lymphadenopathy, pathophysiology, differential diagnosis, and we're going to bring in the clinical skills component of the unit, the clinical skills, how do you do your head and neck lymph exam, how do you examine the spleen, how do you examine your different areas where you can palpate lymph nodes, what's normal, what's abnormal. How do you recognize lymphomas, leukemias, and what are the principles of therapy, and how do you run into trouble with these therapies? So in this case, we'll have a pathology case conference on lymphoma, which Dr. Michelle has kindly agreed to spearhead, and is something that is already given in we're transporting from the basis of medicine program. A small group session will look at normal and abnormal hematopoiesis to understand how these cells develop, what happens in abnormals, discuss for the first time, in a sense, the role of flow cytometry, diagnostic flow cytometry, in identifying abnormal cells and in staging of malignancies. The third pathology case conference of the block is going to be a case discussion on leukemias, discussing cellular phenotypes and the effects of these pathologic phenotypes on prognosis and diagnosis. And in addition, in this kind of case conference, the concept of giving bad news can be brought back in, and so we can marry what was discussed in the second week in terms of palliative care in this part of the unit, where we can bring it back again and highlight, see, this is why you need to understand how to give bad news, because these are the kind of cases that we're going to see. So again, this is week 4, and I'm almost done. Summary, by the end of the block, the students should be able to approach patients from the basic science point of view, the science of the immune response, develop differential diagnoses. That's part of the purpose of the case conferences. Students are given cases and their ideas to broaden their concepts of what is a differential diagnosis. How do you approach the case, not just in the box, but work outside the box? Develop differential diagnoses of common things, so skin problems, abnormal WBCs, and immune findings such as fever. Appreciate that both the patient's, the physician's role in the family unit and the societal, local, and global issues. Identify immune factors involved in infectious diseases, so epidemics, et cetera. Understanding vaccines and their roles in preventing public health catastrophes. And then understand the importance of normal immune function to both defense and homeostasis. And one of the big themes of the unit is this concept of homeostasis. Why do we feel well? And part of the reason why we feel well, in quotation marks, is because our immune system is holding us in homeostasis. So one of the challenges that we discussed at the previous meeting was the volume of the material in the short time frame, the diversity of subjects. We're trying to bring together three very big pieces of medicine into one 4-week time frame, and then to integrate the pathology and the histology into the unit. When we talk about evaluation, I know we're the evaluation, this is sort of what I think of the evaluation, but one of the things that we do that is in the 4th week is an evaluated case report. And what that is the students will have done these case conferences, and so in the 4th week they'll be given a case conference, they'll be asked to go away for 2 hours, and at the end of 2 hours, they submit a report, which is essentially a consult. So they've been asked in that case conference, they've been asked several different questions that cover the different CanMeds criteria for approaching of a specific case. And then in that 2 hours, they come back with a written report. And they can work in groups, they can work individually, but the idea is that they take the information that they've learned from the unit, as well as their ability to access resources and synthesize a cohesive approach to the patient. So what are our new challenges? Well, course materials is a huge challenge for this unit because there is no textbook on immunology that isn't out of date the second it comes out. So often what we've used in the basis of medicine is review articles, and sometimes that can be very heavy and not approachable to the students. So we've been trying to find review articles that are written more approachable to an undergraduate curriculum. And then the diversity of subjects, finding that cohesive thread, and then evaluating the ongoing learning, how successful we've been in promoting these concepts in the students as they progress through their medical training. And that's it. Is that fast enough? Sorry.
Any questions?
So perhaps this is more of a comment. So Christine, I actually would like to congratulate you on the way you've structured that unit. You mentioned that you put a heavy emphasis on the science and blended that nicely with the case studies, and I think that's actually a good model for the way the unit should be structured. Unfortunately, Anne isn't here, and so I got the impression from listening to your presentation that the students would come away with a good understanding of defense and immunity. I'm not sure I got the same degree of confidence from the first unit. And part of the reason is it seemed that, in fact, from the molecule side, there was very little emphasis in Anne's presentation on the science and a lot on the global health aspects. And I'm worried that, for example, she had case studies for diabetes, obesity, cancer, and there were only about three or four lectures on cell cycle and proliferation and a little bit of pathology on that. And I'm worried that there was no discussion in her presentation on, you know, endocrinology with diabetes and all that. And so I would hope that all the other unit leaders will sort of follow the model you've used and make sure that they do get the solid grounding they need. And I think that's something for us to discuss later as well amongst the committee members. But I think that your model is probably the way to go. I mean.
Thanks. I think, though, part of Anne's mandate, let me put it that way, is to try and give the students a framework, because some of the feedback that we've gotten, and Colin can speak to this, from the basis of medicine is in the way Unit 1 works now, the students have no idea why they care. Why should I care about transcription? Why should I care about mitochondria? Why should I care about what a cell looks like? And so it's very hard for them to anchor those pieces of information they get. And what she's trying to do is she's trying to give them the anchor so that as they progress through the other units, hopefully they'll be able to start, you know, taking the time to go to those places and understand hormones and understand, you know, thyroid disease and why we care. And, you know, I hope, too, that most of the small group teachers, tutors, spend a bit of time working these things through with the students, because until the students realize that part of being a professional is that you're the one that takes it away from the normal, moves it, and tries to move down as far as you can into the pathophysiology and understand why this patient has symptom X. And if you can do that, then the differential diagnosis and the broadening of symptom X or the broadening of what this patient might have becomes obvious. So I think that that's really a key element.
So I think probably then the critical thing is to make sure that the small group teaching really is well structured in terms of its intent to cover those deficiencies in other areas where we may not cover them so well in the lectures.
It can also be done in a case conference style too, if you set your questions properly. You know, I'll give you, in ours, one of the case conferences is often a six-year-old who presents with fever. And the first question is, how do you get fever? What are the elements that are required for you to develop a fever? And the purpose of that is it means that the students have to take each symptom and go back to the basis and say, okay, so if the next time I see a 44-year-old with fever, that means that IL-1 and IL-6 and TNF-alpha have been released. And that means that there's inflammation somewhere. And that means, you know, so that they can then begin to, even if they're never ever going to remember IL-6, they're going to realize that that cues to inflammation. So that's the idea, I think. I don't know.
So first of all, thanks to John for your comments. And I actually did ask Christine to present specifically today because I really think her model of this block is really the gold standard of how you can integrate basic science rooted in the clinical realm and then related to global health and public health and social determinants of health. So thank you, Christine.